Hi, I'm Femi OK. Today on the stream, South Sudan's flood emergency. Hundreds of thousands of people are currently being impacted by the worst flood in 60 years. Environmentalists are saying that this is caused by climate change. Here's Al Jazeera's Haron Murtasa just reporting back in November from Jonglei, one of the worst impacted states. Take a look.
This used to be a road, until it disappeared underwater mid last year. Now the only way to get around in this part of South Sudan is by boats and canoes. It's the worst flood this region has seen in 60 years. In this area, every home is abandoned. Families had no choice but to leave. People like Nyawal Makwe, who arrived here in July. Her children and extended family now sleep in this makeshift house, not sure if and when they'll be able to go back home.
My house is still underwater. There are a lot of snakes and reptiles. The place is still a river. It's no longer home. So how can I go back?
Joining us to be part of this conversation, we have Joseph, we have Maura, we have Neathon. Good to have all three with you, with us. Maura, first of all, introduce yourself. Tell everybody who you are, what you do.
Hello, everyone. My name is Maura Ajak. I am a freelance journalist based in Juba.
Good to have you. Neathon, welcome to the stream. Introduce yourself to our global audience.
Well, hello, everybody. My name is Neathon Hotmai. I'm a policy researcher and analyst in the area of climate change and global energy at the Sud Institute.
And it's always good to have a government voice in a conversation. We have Joseph Bartel. You see him, but you don't hear the government voice quite yet. We are working on the audio. Joseph is the Undersecretary for the Ministry of Environment and Forestry, and he is coming to us from Juba, South Sudan. We see him any moment now. We will be able to hear him as well. As far as you're concerned, if you're on YouTube, please be part of this conversation. This is an underreported story, the flood crisis in South Sudan. Put your comments, your questions right here. We will get our guests to do the very best and answer as many of your comments and questions as they can. Let's start with a map here, Neathon. I'm just looking at South Sudan flooding, the worst affected areas. We're looking at about eight regions here. Where would you take me? What would you show me? Just to give us an indication of how bad, how serious things are right now.
Yes. Looking at the map and the worst, we have around, as you just showed the map, around 6 to 7 counties that are currently underwater. But the three most hit areas that are currently impacted by flood is Jonglei State, Unity State, and Upper Nile. The flood in this area are much more intense than the other area in South Sudan. So in this area, as you've seen, due to flood, community have been displaced from their current villages. As you've seen, they've lost their houses and they've lost their farmland, and they have been forced to move to a higher ground where they are currently living there temporarily. But when you look at it, them being in that area, they're actually coming, they're interacting with the host community. And here, looking at them at the host community, there have been a little bit of tension and conflict between the displaced people and also the host community. Also, in where they have displaced, as you've seen, they've completely lost their livelihood. They've left without caring anything with them. They have no food. They've lost access to health services. And here, without anybody that is there to help them out, it's about life and death for these displaced people.
Maura, you sent us some pictures. I'm going to get you to do some show and tell with us. So I'm going to show you the pictures. You know the pictures, but also explain to our audience what they are seeing. Because when you talk about people displaced, you kind of have to see them and understand who they are. You can't just talk about them as if they're statistics. And you help connect us with this story. And that little report that we showed from Haru, you were right there with Haru, making sure we were getting the right story and getting the facts right. Who are we seeing here? What is this family doing? Where are they?
This photo, it's from Bentiu, Unity State. I had a chance to go in October, last October. Those are two mothers. They are having malnourished children, and they were trying to seek help because they had displaced from a flooding area, and they came all the way to Bentiu, which it was already started being flooded. And it's a malnutrition department within the Bentiu Hospital. Yeah.
And then this picture, I mean, I see the mud, I see the water, but I can't quite work out what is going on here.
Actually, we had a tour around in Bentiu with the governor, and it was a water that just broke. And by the time they were walking, and then it had broken completely before I passed or before I crossed the water dike. And those are just like almost around like 7 men. They were trying to do it manually, using only the axe, and then the you can see now the wood and the trees. They are trying to remove it from the ground down there. And I've asked how many meters deep, and they told me it's like 2 meters deep. And they had to do it like with their bare hands, and there is no one to come for a help. Actually, they were with the female mayor. They were trying to fix the water dikes to block the flooding waters to submerge even a Bentiu site. Yeah.
One more picture here. And again, I'm trying to imagine how deep is this water and how is this impacting everyday life? Tell us what we're seeing here.
This one from my last visit with those of Haru, with Al Jazeera English team in Old Fangak. It's just by the riverside where people, they're just selling the fish. It's a fish market. You will find only fish. And it's where all the fishermen, half of them, they're also soldiers. They decided just to find a way for survival and just to sell fish and then to dry it along the riverside over there. Yeah.
Let me just bring in Joseph now that we've got all of our audio sorted out. Joseph, thank you for your patience. Undersecretary, Ministry of Environment and Forestry, Juba, South Sudan. That is where Joseph is coming to us from. This is your... This is what you do. This is where your job is focused on. The environment, forestry, the land, making sure that South Sudan succeeds as a country as far as the environment policy is concerned. How ready are you for floods of this scale? This is not the first one. This is the third one in just a few years. Joseph.
Yeah, actually, what's happening right now, that's very devastating. Floods used to occur in the country, but at the moment, the frequency of the floods, what is worrying us, because the impacts of climate change has really muted frequency. Because the last 3 years, those areas were under flood. So as a government that is emerging from conflict, and our economic situation is dire, we are struggling to try to help our people. But at the moment, we have prepared our national adaptation plan, NAPAs, in order to make sure that our current situation. It's not our own making, but what is happening at the moment is a result of climate change and expect we agreed in the Paris Agreement that our people need to be helped out financially, such that we adapt to this.
Okay. Joseph, I'm going to pause there for a moment because it's very difficult to hear you and understand you. The cell service that you have right now is really patchy, so apologies for interrupting you. We will keep trying to come back to you so we hear you loud and clear. Neathon, I want to bring in a new voice into this conversation, and often when there's a disaster or crisis, people are looking to the government for support, for guidance. Let me just bring in here Wani Michael. Wani Michael is looking to the government for help and support, and I'm wondering if that is the best approach. Here he is.
The flooding situation in South Sudan is very devastating. It has affected thousands of people who have been displaced, and they lack shelter, they lack food, they lack basic necessities for life, including medicine. The situation is very, very worse. and these people are not being attended to by the government. What the government ought to do is, first of all, they need to address the issues of resettlement of these people, because some of them are already stuck and they don't know where they should go to. The other issue, of course, is government coming up with a very robust approach on how to deal with these issues of flooding and climate change.
So obviously I'm going to put this to Joseph as well, as soon as we can get a clear line from him. But Neathon, is that asking too much of a very young country just celebrating its 10th anniversary?
That's not asking too much. And I think the role of the government is basically to look into the well-being of their people, regardless how small or how new the country is, because this is the responsibility that has been entrusted on them, and they need to deliver on that. I know climate change is a global issue, and South Sudan being one of the least developed countries, and South Sudan as well, the country is facing a lot of political issues at the moment. But that doesn't take out from the responsibility of the government, considering that they're actually putting 40% of our budget into security sector. All we are asking is that take even though 10 or even 20% of that and channel that into rescuing the people who are currently affected, because, you know, these communities they are poor communities and they can't stand alone without the help of the government. So I totally agree with Wani Michael that government need to do even little things by just going ahead of the displaced people, go and talk to the host community, right, so that arrangement is done between the two communities to allow these communities to be able to settle. So it is the responsibility of the government.
Earlier, I spoke to Michael Julius. He's here on Twitter, but I want to share the phrase that he told us on the stream, Joseph. And he said, this is a wake-up call for South Sudan, that they really need to have a climate crisis policy in place. These are some pictures that he's on Twitter that he shared, and you can see how disruptive these floods are to people's lives. Joseph, wake up call for South Sudan. Go ahead.
As I said earlier, we used to have floods, but the frequency of the flooding is what is now affecting us. It's because of climate change. We as government has come up with around $10 million as an emergency package in order to help affected populations. But now out of the 10 states of South Sudan, we have 7 states that are underwater. And as I said earlier, climate change is the one causing all this. And as the impact of climate change, we expect the international community to come up with funds to enable us as a country adapt to this impact of climate change. The floods are not for us alone, but also places like Canada, New York had floods, but they have the capacity because they are economically well off than us. And it is because of the greenhouse gases that these developed countries has emitted into the atmosphere. That's why we are currently experiencing these impacts of climate change. So as government, yes, we are doing our part, but the economic power that we have won't be able to help us. So we need international support in order to get funds for us to adapt to this, to allow our people to move to higher grounds, and also to have smart agriculture such that our people get their livelihoods back.
Yes, so I think I totally agree with you, Africano. But at the same time, I think my concern here is that as much as South Sudan government doesn't have capacity in terms of funding to be able to address the issue of climate change, they need to be the one that are taking lead, right, in terms of rescuing humanitarian crisis, because now in South Sudan, most of this is actually being done by humanitarian agencies and UN agencies. South Sudan removing 10 million, it's completely nothing compared to where what we know now. Of course, we are getting resources from our oil. And it's just the fact that the problem now of South Sudan...
Nyathan, you need to know that our situation as a country, we have just emerged from civil war, and we depend on 98% of our economy depends on oil. And the prices of oil plummeted. That left us with nothing. So at the moment, this is a crisis that we have not created. It is a crisis resulting from the impacts of climate change. We have known that out of the IPCC report, the world has warmed up by 1.2 degrees. And it is the one causing all these droughts.
So, Joseph, you are sharing facts, like cold, hard facts here. It is well known the global south, the developing world, has not created the most carbon emissions. It's the developed world that has done so. But that is not where South Sudan is right now. You cannot keep quoting that fact, right? Because still, you have maybe four regions currently underwater right now. So what is the adaptation? What is the mitigation? I think that is what the citizens of South Sudan would like to hear from you at this particular time. Nyathan, pick up. Go ahead.
Yes, let me complete what I wanted to say. I completely understand that, of course, that what we are facing is it's not our doing, right? We are basically experiencing the impact of climate change that is being caused somewhere. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to leave our house and expect outsiders to come and say that, okay, because we caused it, now we are coming in to come and solve your problem. Of course, if we need a unified... We need a unified effort from the government.
We have our NAP, and we have our NDC to mitigate and...
Of course, we have all the plans on paper. But there's no implementation.
So, Nyathan and Joseph, only just because the quality of the audio between you two does not allow a robust discussion without it being quite difficult to hear. So I'm just going to put a pause on that for a moment. I want to go back to the reporting that Mara helped Haramatasa to do. And at this point, I feel we make a full circle round back to the people who are suffering in the flooding. What impact is it having on them? And particularly when we're talking about food, nutrition, how are they getting food? How are they farming? Here's Haramatasa one more time.
Malnutrition rates are increasing as flooding affects food supplies.
All animals that we depend on, they are dying because of the flood. All our houses, they are under the water in the town. And this is very difficult. Also, we get the disease through the flood.
Humanitarian aid has also been affected.
This used to be our food distribution point where we were distributing food to over 27,000 people here in Old Fangak with the support from the World Food Programme. But now, because of the flooding, we are now unable to utilise this location.
All right, Mara, help us out here. I'm getting lots of questions on YouTube. You're the journalist in our conversation today. Can you help me out with some of these questions? Dominic wants to say, how about building a dam in a sewer? Could that stop the issues of the flooding? A practical solution.
The issue is the role of media itself and how government also can chip in with media and to spread awareness about the floods. What is floods? And what is climate change? People, they don't know about that. And they don't know even how to help themselves in terms of by the time there will be like such situation now they are into. And the other thing is there is no one managing the river, the River Nile. Because we don't have banks, it's not built, and it's just there. And that's why every year, like when we have heavy rains, the water just goes all the way to the swampy areas. That's why people drowning regularly, and all the areas like disappearing from the map itself, you see? And even the other areas that, most of the areas that are affected, honestly, they don't have any network coverage. That's like, how can they then understand or how can they get warnings about there will be heavy rain this month or next week or tomorrow, like that, for instance.
That's so basic. How will they then? Yeah, that's so basic. I'm going to give you another question. I give this question to you, Nia Thorne, and I've got another one for Joseph as well. Taban Johnson asks, thank you, Maura. Taban Johnson asks, we need clear mitigation and adaptation policies and strategies because these floods keep coming every decade in South Sudan. South Sudan's only had one decade, so the floods are there. Nia Thorne, answer that briefly, and then I've got another YouTube question for Joseph.
Yes, that's. I think this is where my point is. I think, of course, we need to commend the little government is doing and the role the humanitarian crisis is doing, but we need to move away from just emergency risk reduction. We need to move into a midterm to long-term adaptation programs. And this is where now I agree with Africano. They have NAPA. These NAPA have incredible projects. These are long-term projects that is talking about building dikes. It's about talking about building dams that hold flood water and also man-made channel that can actually channel some of this water to some of the areas that are actually experiencing droughts. So we need to start thinking about just emergency. Yes, we need to help these communities that are being affected, but this is not sustainable. We need to come up with sustainable means that we start we start managing this. And then as well, we need to put in policies. And I heard this NAPA is going to be converted into policies. This is good. But we have a lot of beautiful program in paper at the moment that need to be implemented. And I think this is where the role of government is. They need to spearhead this and then mobilize all the resources and all the stakeholders to build this. And just to give an example, currently, actually, private sector have started doing something incredible. And just a week ago, there was a project constructed by ARC where they built a 180-kilometer dike that is running all the way from Bor to Malakal. And this dike basically has started helping some of the community because it's blocking some of the water. And these are some of the projects we need to start seeing so that this flood issue is solved going forward.
Joseph, this question for you briefly from Rashad Khan. You made a very good case for South Sudan did not create climate change, but you're suffering from it. Rashad asks, what is the international community doing to serve South Sudan as they are the main actors for global warming? Tangible benefits, funding, help from the global north? What are you getting?
We are getting peanuts. We have been recently in Glasgow, all of the Paris rule book. We were promised $100 billion yearly starting from 2020. And up to now, the developed country parties have not realized that amount. They said they will be able to raise it by 2023. Yes, as government, we have all the strategies to adapt and to mitigate the impacts of climate change. And from our next year's budget, we are going to incorporate all those strategies in our work plans. And our NDC requires around $100 billion to enable us adapt and mitigate the impacts of climate change. Our focus as government will be able to raise $20 billion. And the remaining $80 billion will be from the international GEF, Green Climate Fund and Adaptation.
So, Joseph, if you're getting peanuts, then South Sudan is on its own, right? So you have another plan, correct?
Come again?
If you're getting peanuts, South Sudan is going to be on its own. You have to work out your own resilience, how you're going to mitigate this climate crisis and also adapt for the future.
At the moment...
Joseph, thank you so much for being with us. We are right at the end of this show. I appreciate your patience with the audio audience. Thank you, Maura. Thank you, Nia Thorne. Thank you, Joseph. Let me show you where you can find them here on my laptop. This is Joseph online. This is Maura, and this is Nia Thorne. Do follow them. You'll get the latest from South Sudan and the flooding crisis as well. Thanks for watching, everybody. I'll see you next time. Take care.